This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Okay, Dave Kane, voice of the Hoos,
yep.
Coming up later this hour. We always look forward to conversations with him. Duke, Virginia, tomorrow, monster game in Charlottesville. Kyle Peterson will join us in the Power Hour, talking a little college baseball. There are three major series this weekend. Georgia Tech, Georgia, Clemson, South Carolina, Florida State, Texas Tech, and everybody and their brother playing. So we'll get into a little baseball. And Dallin Cuff will join us before we get out of here today, talking some hoops. And hopefully he has a Portuguese word of the day for us for every one of his appearances.
You know, I got to ask him something because I just finished watching the you may be familiar with the All or Nothings that Amazon does. Mm-hmm. You familiar with those mm-hmm. documentaries? Mm-hmm. I just finished watching one on the Brazilian national soccer team. Of course, the whole thing's in Portuguese.
How'd that go?
Well, I watched the subtitles, but because it's all in Portuguese. But I thought to myself as I was watching, you know, Dallin Cuff just sit here and watch this. He wouldn't need the subtitles.
Right. He's a talented dude.
Yeah.
Well educated. Knows what he's doing.
Portuguese. See, Portuguese.
Now, you are really all over it, man. If you keep this up, I'm bringing out my French. All right. It's time for Notepad. We do this at the end of the month, and it's a leap year. Oh. So nevertheless, this is our last February show. Oh. We hope it is our last February show. We hope that's all it is our last February show.
That's it, yeah. Not our last show.
Yeah, because hopefully we're back on Monday, which, by the way, will be Barbara Packer's birthday.
Oh!
So an early happy birthday.
Barbara's already been on the
Actually,
show.
Actually, her birthday's Sunday, but I'll say it today.
Barb's been on the show already.
Via phone.
Yes.
Just to confirm that Billy did not pass away.
That's it.
But we do a thing called Notepad, which is kind of the best of the month. And it entails who knows what, right? We go ACC style on this. Chester's over there scratching, making sure the guest seat's nice and warm in case we have Jay Billis show up unexpectedly. Chester, you all right over there, buddy?
Chester.
Oh, he's trying to find just the right
just
spot.
Just the right spot?
No, there it is.
There we go. Okay, right, now we're back.
All right, so we lead off with the best offensive player of the month.
All right.
Wes, I'm going to do something a little different.
Okay.
I'm going to go baseball.
There's the former Walton Raider.
Yes, sir. He's batting just under 600 to start the season. So I figured, you know what? A lot of times we just kind of do mainstream stuff, but we will branch out occasionally. So how about a little shout-out, a little Georgia Tech baseball leading off the best offensive player. Michael's getting it done. And again, big series coming up this weekend. Jackets and Bulldogs. It's always good when those two get together regardless of sport.
Yeah, how about that? Michael Goldberg, good for you. My offensive player – friend of the show. Hardest thing about going to school at Syracuse, the bus.
Oh,
Chase
yeah.
Scanlon.
Mm.
9 goals in 3 games. Had 7 to start the year just to make sure everybody was watching. Has added a 3 assists as well. Transfer from Loyola. Just whipping it around on everybody.
Wearing the famed 22 jersey for Syracuse lacrosse.
Knocking it down. This was easy in my mind. This guy goes off. I mean, he goes off early.
Now, I will tell you, though, there's some dudes in the North. The North Carolina team's been scoring left and right. They got a big series coming up this weekend. We'll get into that, too. They're taking on Denver, if I'm not mistaken, on Sunday. Men's lacrosse.
Defensive player?
You lead.
I went women's basketball here, and I went Kylie Shook in part because of her effort in the game at Raleigh against NC State. I just thought that was – singularly, one of the best defensive performances I've seen this year. She leads the ACC in block shots. She's a lead list in double doubles. I mean, just a phenomenal effort this year for Kylie Shook. And to be honest with you, I thought, you know what? That's as good as I've seen in the month of February, especially on stuff like that.
That's a good pick. And that game that we're watching highlights of, the NC State-Louisville game, was the one we all circled. NC State had the one game lead, Louisville coming to Raleigh. Everything at stake, and really from that point forward, Louisville's taken control of the ACC
race.
That's
right.
And again, Louisville, the number one seed overall for the tournament, which begins next week in Greensboro. NC State's the number two seed, and the 3-4 battle this weekend is going to be out of sight as the regular season ends. I like that pick. I went a little different than you, though. Ironically, it's Florida State's entire team on the defensive side. I just bragged about him a second ago. We had this showdown game this week. Louisville is loaded. Florida State's loaded. I have not seen another team in college basketball but play better than what Florida State did in the second half of that game. They were awesome. They were dominant on the defensive end. And when you watch five guys work the way they did that night, man, that was a work of art. And I know we got the dunks and everybody's excited about that. People love offense. But, man alive, when you have a marquee game and everybody's into it, and
right.
the crowd was awesome and Louisville was really good. They're up 11. And then all of a sudden the team just says, you know what? No more. We're shutting this down. They were great. So they get my nod.
All right. That's good.
You like that?
Yeah, like it a lot. All right, best story.
It could have gone in a lot of different ways on this one. And this is, to me, a combination of a lot of things. It's somebody that has not played a game. But Tiana, right? Mm-hmm. We always talk about what an incredibly brave woman this is. She got cleared to play. And so guess what? Here she comes. And by the way, we've got a great, great documentary coming up about this lady. If you don't know about her story, you need to watch this coming up Sunday on ACC Network. And there's a lot of great stories in this league. But given what she's been through, how open she's been about it, just to watch the acceptance of her teammates and really the league, just say, hey, listen, we're behind you. You're a great player. We want to see you on the court. Mm. And for her to get the green light to go, man, God bless her.
Yeah.
Awesome story.
Best story of the month of February for me is on the floor in women's basketball. And it's really the return from start to finish of what Joanne P. McCallie and Duke has done this year. You know, she told us in October, Pac, you know, we're going to have a chance. We got a really talented player in Haley Gorecki. And Gorecki, by the way, has delivered. But the team as a whole, we weren't sure. And Pac, they had some head scratchers early. But boy, in February, they cooked it. And now Duke finds itself in a position maybe to get one of the last two spots in the tournament for a double bye.
They got a chance. I know the loss to Virginia Tech last night was disappointing. However, Duke's still in a position to get North Carolina this weekend in the traditional end. We mentioned three teams, two spots looking for the double bye.
Mm-hmm.
Virginia Tech at Louisville. That'll be a tough test for Coach Brooks. And Notre Dame, Florida State. So between Florida State, Duke, Virginia Tech, in all likelihood, two of those three teams will get the double bye, but the Duke's been a good story. There's no question about that.
All right, best game in the month of February. Look, I tell people this outside the ACC footprint all the time who go, well, how come we always talk about this Duke-Carolina game? How come everybody over there in the ACC always wants to talk about Duke-Carolina? Because it delivers. More often than not, this game is always spectacular. And the first installation of the Battle of the Blues this year was spectacular. High drama. If you don't care who wins, it's a great game. If you care who wins, you ride the emotional train all night long. And you may ride it a week from Saturday again for all we know. Because when you think it's not going to matter, somehow it still matters, Pac. That's why I think it's the best game in February.
Again, we can't argue. It's always great. It's always entertaining. It was the best game, Wes. But you know what? I'm going to give you the perfect
game. I knew this was coming.
You know, North Carolina Duke was really fantastic. It's always tremendous.
Right.
But it wasn't perfect. I'm going perfection. And we just had him on the show. Bryce Jarvis says, hey, no big deal. 2 hours, 8 minutes, 15 Ks.
College baseball in 208.
208, 15 Ks, 94 pitches.
Never.
I don't care who was there, even though his parents were. He said, no, you're getting nothing. Not a hit, not a sniff. I'm not doing a thing other than saying, next man up, 27 up, 27 down.
208.
You pitch a perfect game, you're getting my nod for the best.
Note to programming. Just a note to our programming friends at ACC Network. That never happens. College baseball.
And you should know.
Oh.
As a broadcaster, with all your snazzy, colorful pens, those things normally last 3+, sometimes even inch into the faux spot.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So 208, you can appreciate that.
208. That's like Greg Maddux back in the day.
Oh, that's what it looked like.
Yeah.
He was just mowing people down.
Sure was.
And his interview, by the way, was great, too.
Yeah.
He was tremendous on the
air. I know you guys had him Monday. That must have been fun.
It was outstanding.
All right.
All right, next stop. What are we doing?
What's next, guys?
What are you in the mood for? The biggest surprise is what they want us to roll with. I'm going to stay with Duke. I mean, what was this? 9-point lead, buck 20 to go.
Yeah.
You just closed the deal. You know what? Sometimes it's hard to do. You know, Duke got the benefit of one in Chapel Hill. Wake Forest pulled the trick this week in Lawrence Joel. This thing turned out to be a 113-101. And, you know, if you turn it off with a minute and a half to go, you woke up the next morning and went, what did Packer and Durham talk about? Wake Forest winning that game. You crazy? Guy's nuts. Fall down a flight of stairs. What'd you guys do?
That's well done.
There you go.
That's well done.
That's my surprise game right there.
My biggest surprise, last weekend we celebrated the 6-month anniversary of this fine network and all the wonderful people we get to work with. We haven't been called into the principal's office yet. That's my biggest surprise.
How many years?
Well, we 6 months on this network.
Oh, 6 months. I thought you said 6 years.
No, 6 months.
Okay.
We haven't been called in the principal's office yet.
Well, I told them to lose my number, so if they're going to call, you're going to get the phone call.
I know, and we haven't been called. I think we've skated it, but not just yet. And everybody still likes us for the most part.
Well, we don't know that.
Well, I don't think they'll really tell us if they didn't like us, but I think
maybe they just feel sorry for us. They're like, you know, just let those guys just keep doing their thing.
A couple of old guys with two dogs in a basement.
Yeah, you know, they got mortgages, they got kids, they got issues.
Yeah, just college, all that stuff, yeah.
Could be it.
So that's my biggest surprise.
The other guy's afraid of the ocean and the drill. The other guy's got complexes with colored pencils. And NC State fans think there's some kind of curse and he's got to go to Raleigh. And hey, it's just all kinds of problems.
Biggest disappointment. Believe it.
That we haven't been called in the principal's office? Can we do that?
No, that was surprise. Disappointment? I think both of us here last weekend.
Was this your pick?
Yes.
All right. So we both are on the same
pick. Florida swept Miami in baseball, and I got to be honest with you. That's a disappointment to me.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
I thought the Canes were, to quote the great Nuke LaLoosh, going to announce their presence with authority, and it didn't happen. The Gators pulled it out in the bottom of the ninth on Saturday night, and then won the Sunday bill to take the not good.
Yeah, we had the first 1-2 matchup in a long, long time between these two, and I just thought that it would be a little bit. Again, I know the games are close, but man, you don't want the LLL as the number one spot. So that was my biggest disappointment too.
All right,
we normally don't hit the same ones.
No,
I'm surprised we hit that.
Best moment in February. Well, for me, got to be honest with you, the Hall of Fame coach setting us straight.
It's on you guys, really, to promote the league. That's what, why we got the damn network. Quit petting Fuller and start doing more stuff to promote the league, for crying out loud.
I mean, the guy walks around like he's won like 1,200 games or something, telling us what to do.
Just basically.
It's our house. That's my house.
Well,
it's our show.
I got to be honest with you. He just lit us up on our own show. I mean, just basically just whatever.
Yeah, he can do that. He's on
the Thanks, coach. Now I know what it was like to play for him. It's up to you guys.
Now, I tell you what.
It was like the under-8 timeout.
Coach should be fired up tomorrow night when he rolls into Charlottesville.
That'll be a lock-in.
That's Tony Bennett, Coach K. All right. For my best moment, it's all about Ish.
Oh, gosh.
It's all about Ish.
Oh, no.
You are my best moment from the month of February, Wes Durham.
Thanks.
It is.
It was 04, by the way.
Here I am going live, and guess who's running a little late?
Yeah, 04.
I'm looking at my watch. Like, yeah, there we go.
It's 04. That's four after.
That's our Packer and Durham weekdays, 7-ish to 10, right here on ACC Network. And there's my man, Wes Durham. Cup of coffee in hand. Fuller greets him because that's Buddy Wes, as he calls Wes. Buddy Wes.
Mm-hmm.
My man shows up there at 7:04 and gets a new nickname, Seven-ish. Wes, Seven-ish Durham.
Thanks. Glad I could help be part of the fodder.
So there you go. Congrats, man. You, Wes Durham, are my best moment of the month.
Great. Tremendous.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
All right, time for globs, man. We got key glob games this week.
You were really fired up about the glob games.
I love the glob. The glob is great because it changes every day teams play. Guaranteed. When we saw it this week was the ultimate example. North Carolina, 15th mm-hmm. spot.
Right.
NC State's 5. All right, cool. Bring them on. Glob.
All right.
Wake, Duke, 14th spot. Duke, oh, that's cool. Glob. That's what happens.
Man. All right, let's start tomorrow, 4 o'clock, the Dome. Final game in the Dome.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Macri to shed a tear as Carolina visits the Orange. Doug Sherman, Corey Alexander, by the way, on the call on ESPN.
And both teams actually feeling good for a change, right? North Carolina with the win against NC State.
Buddy Boeheim, game time decision.
I know he turned his ankle, but you know what? They played Pitt and wore them out. All of a sudden, Cuse had a little mojo coming down the stretch. Both of them do. You mentioned the emotion of the dome. We had John Wildhack on the show. He's talking about all the events that are taking place.
John Wallace's jersey tomorrow.
That's right. So it's going to be that'll be a cool scene at the dome, and get a good look of it, because next time you see it, it'll be a little different.
I'm going to say this. We're going to find out how Carolina travels momentum.
I think North Carolina is going to be excited to play.
I do, too. I think Garrison Brooks is going to be excited to play.
I think they've had enough of losing close games, and I think Syracuse is taking a snapshot knowing, hey, they blew some opportunities with Florida State and Louisville, but if they close strong and then go on a crazy run at the tournament,
right,
who knows?
Yeah.
So I think both teams will be engaged tomorrow afternoon.
Do we need to check with Macri? How's he feeling tomorrow?
See with the Lumberjacks. What's going on up there with them?
Moises, what do you say?
Senor.
Senor.
Como esta?
Uh-oh, they got to get the lights on. They got to do.
No, he's just getting changed. Hold on a second.
He's going changed?
Back. He's going back down to the Executive Stray Cafe there in Bristol to get him some more seeds.
What are we doing?
I was trying to put my sleeves back on because I was feeling a little warm. But it's a Friday, so I'm going suns out, guns out. Yeah, so, you like that?
Senor, what do we say tomorrow?
I'm feeling good about it, but every time I feel good about it, they kick me right in the gut. So, yeah. For what that's worth.
Seriously?
Maybe. Seriously, do they kick me in the gut every time I feel good about them? Yes,
you
seriously.
You don't feel good about tomorrow at all?
I feel great about tomorrow. Every time I feel great going into a game, they let me down.
Hey, Macri.
Yes.
Can I ask you a question?
Always.
I've not asked for a lot of favors.
Mm-hmm.
Could you do me a favor next time?
Yeah. What, put sleeves back on?
No. If you want to do gun show, that's up to you, man. I'm cool with it. I would just like for you to get some kind of, it could be powder, it could be icing. I just want you to give me just a little gray.
Just a little, you know, like, to be honest with you, I'm looking forward to getting a little gray in the beard. I think I'd look hot.
Well, hey, you don't have to think about it. Just watch ESPN.
Just do it. Yeah, tonight. Sure.
You'll see exactly what it looks like.
Drew, do we have his twin ready available, by the way? Is that possible? Just to make sure.
We have it, but I'm going to need a second.
Well, everybody that missed the end of the show yesterday, if you've watched our program with any regularity, you know that Mark Packer and Angel Cabrera, the Masters champion, not the president at Georgia Tech.
No. Do not confuse those two.
No. Masters champion Angel Cabrera.
Bogey.
Is Mark Packer's evil twin.
That's it.
Well, Pack, yesterday at the end of the show, told the story of how, while we thought for months that Josh Macri was a dead ringer for the Nutcracker.
That we had on our 14th Christmas edition.
Right. It turns out that, in fact, he's not a dead ringer for the Nutcracker. Well, he is, but he's really a dead ringer for a reporter on Jorge Ramos's
Isubanda
on ESPN Deportes,
which I watch every day because it's on television here while I'm doing Sirius XM radio. And I looked up at 6 o'clock every night and I see a guy that looks exactly like Josh Macri, but he's got a little more gray in the beard. Looks just like him. I about fell off my chair the other day when that thing was on. I looked up and went, oh, my God, it's Josh Macri.
And like a lot of programs, we have a group text that goes around during the day. And Macri's denial that he looked like
Moises
was vehement. Look, until yesterday.
You tell me if my man Macri went and just got, hey, here's what you do. Go get some powdered donuts. Number one, you could eat them, and then whatever falls on your beard, just show up to work that way. And you tell me that you don't look just like that dude on ESPN Deportes. Looks just like him.
Oh, if you wear the glasses, it's over.
Do you ever go to the Executive Stray Cafe there in Bristol and somebody goes up to you and...
Moises.
Senor.
Como esta?
Oh, that is so
Fuller
good.
Thinks it's all right. Josh Macri.
All right, well, good luck to the Orange tomorrow. I'm glad we were able to get Moises into another segment.
I love it. I'm telling you, if you have ESPN Deportes, I just assume it airs. I mean, I don't know what I get here on
Jorge Ramos Isubanda.
Yeah.
That's what it's called.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so Moises is the reporter.
At 6 o'clock, he'll be in Madrid. It will be some phenomenal locale.
Guy's got a good job.
Mexico City. Or as Josh likes to say, Barcelona.
Oh, my gosh. Do you know what? He was already recognized in the airport in New Orleans at the national championship.
That's right.
You're one of those lumberjacks.
That's it.
Yes, sir, I am. And then you know what's going to happen? We're going to get to Greensboro for the tournament, and somebody's going to come up and go, "You're that guy from Deportes, yeah, aren't you?"
Yep.
That's going to happen.
It's going to sound just like that.
Yep.
All right. We have gotten slightly off the
Notre Dame, Wake Forest, glob.
These are all globs.
I know.
Wake Forest feeling great about knocking off Duke, still celebrating. There was toilet paper all over the quad.
Yep.
Up in Winston-Salem, flowing freely. That's always a beautiful scene, by the way.
It is, when they roll the quad.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Right?
Danny Manning went out on the quad after the win over Duke.
I mean, just think of what Auburn does at Tumors Corner and multiply it by like 5,000.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, it just means more in Winston-Salem, apparently.
So the Irish, though, handled their business. Wake Forest, to me, dangerous.
No question about it.
Dangerous. Last home game for Brandon Childress. Dangerous.
Could be a lot of points in this one.
Yeah. By the way, Wake showed me a lot of shooters the other night.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be interesting.
And a great matchup inside.
Woo!
Right?
With Olivier Saar and John Mooney?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I agree. Fouls will be interesting. Foul trouble will be interesting. Let's see who plays well off the bench.
I will make a prediction.
Okay.
Wake Forest, guaranteed, will not shoot 53 throws against Notre Dame.
No, because Notre Dame doesn't foul.
Ever.
Right.
Ever.
Right.
What do you think the over and under Wake Forest free throw attempts will be against Notre Dame?
I don't know. We have to get to our research.
No, I mean, I got the index card right here, but I mean, we could break all kinds of numbers down, but just off the top of your head, how many times do you think they will go? They went to the line 50 times. Now, granted, it was a double overtime game.
28.
Oh, I don't think they'll go 28. I'll go under 28. I mean, Notre Dame and Virginia play,
that's like a sub 2 hour game.
Oh, there's nobody going to the free throw line. All right, you're going to go 20. I'm going to go under that.
All right. Notre Dame Wake, by the way, available on ACCNX at 4 o'clock tomorrow.
Interesting game.
We will get to Pittsburgh and NC State because I know you Wolfpack folks are very excited. Ooh, that I'll be there.
Who's doing that game?
That'd be me and Malcolm Huckabee at high noon tomorrow.
Can we just go on record now for all these NC State fans who've just gone nuts that West Durham is a curse and a jinx, and every time he shows up, black cats start falling from the sky and everything else? Can we put this to rest? That if NC State beats Pittsburgh, that we just eliminate NC State Nation from calling in or sending you text or tweets or whatever through your social media and all your selfies, that no more West Durham has a jinx against anything NC State, whether it be football, basketball, baseball, tennis, rowing, wrestling, or anything else. Can we put this to rest?
You're following me.
All right.
Because I'm going back Friday anyway.
Well, we know that, but I'm just talking about the abuse that you take from fans that think, oh, man, Durham's doing our game. We got no shot.
I don't think it much has to do with me.
It's got nothing to do with you, but I'm just trying to help you.
Well, appreciate that.
Now, if Pitt wins this game, I think State fans should be all over you.
And I'll be here at 4 after.
I mean, my boys at Pittsburgh, who I had high hopes for, have just rolled over and played dead here the last couple of weeks. They go to Raleigh and win this game, it is your fault.
Great. I'm
telling you right
Thanks.
Now.
Thanks. We're going to save
I like NC State.
We'll save the previews. Thanks for saving the preview.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
We mentioned there are some serious games this weekend. The biggest one is in Charlottesville tomorrow night when Duke comes rolling in to see Tony Bennett again. It's Duke and it's Virginia, and now we bring on the voice of the Hoos, the one and only Dave Kane. Dave, good morning. How are you?
I'm great, and Pack, very relieved to see you're sitting in that seat right now, given everything you've been through in the last 24 hours. Man.
Appreciate that.
It's inspiring, man.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you're that inspired by it, I will conduct the rest of the interview in the position that I was in at 11 a.m. yesterday, which will be this.
Man, I'll tell you what, you were in our prayers last night, you know, I was just
I appreciate that.
Hoping and, yeah, so So
I will tell you, you got it. I will tell you, the second ice cube was really tasty at about 6:15 last night. I will tell you that.
I'll bet. I'll bet.
No man in America has ever gone to have a cavity filled and it turn into 48 hour of trauma. Right?
Yeah, they're going to make a movie out of this one day.
Well, I kid you not. I mentioned this earlier. When I walked out of the place yesterday, I was dripping wet. I mean, I had not as nice of a outfit you've got on because in Virginia, I mean, you guys always look good.
Yeah.
But, you know, I had a baseball hat doing my thing. Yeah. I was dripping wet walking out of there last night. Yesterday afternoon, yesterday morning, whatever it was.
Yeah, it's all fog now, right?
Does your dentist get paid overtime? Like, do they get paid more when they got to deal with someone like you?
They enjoy it because they just know that I'm just mortified. And I think they thoroughly find it entertaining. I really do. My dentist is a great guy. Yeah. And the whole staff's great.
Sure.
But they know that I am an absolute basket case.
The reason they're great people is because they only see you once in a blue moon.
No, every 6 months now.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to basketball here now that we've recovered from the live trauma of Packer and a filling. What in the world the other night in Blacksburg? Are you guys just playing for the ratings at some point? Mm-hmm. I mean, you got this unbelievable halftime lead, and then all of a sudden it evaporates because Virginia Tech has scored like 50 points in three halves of basketball against you. And then all of a sudden they blow it open and score 42 in the second half, and you guys need a three at the end to win? Come on.
I'm telling you, this is getting so normalized for me. My blood pressure doesn't even rise anymore. You just expect it. Virginia's up 15 at halftime, and I'm sitting here thinking, we're talking to each other. We're going to say, how is this one going to get to being a two-point game? And sure enough, there we sit. We're tied at the last second. And, you know, the thing that's kind of crazy about this is Virginia, so the last nine games, they're 5-0 in games that are single-possession games. And they're finding ways to make those big plays, and that's something that wasn't happening about a month and a half ago, to the point where I remember having a conversation with Tony Bennett. We were discussing his team because they were losing these types of games, and it was, I said, I never questioned that your team has grit, but my question this year is, do they have the moxie? And they didn't at the time, but I think they've discovered that moxie, and those are the types of things that carry you, particularly as you get to the postseason where it becomes single elimination. And that pressure is just baked into every game you play. I don't know. I think this is going to be a dangerous team, you know, if and when they get into the NCAA tournament. The fact that they've clinched the double bye in the ACC tournament now, you're in a pretty good spot for what was expected to be a down year and what felt like a down year just about a month and a half ago. So it's pretty amazing what Tony Bennett and his staff have been able to do with this crew. They've instilled a measure of confidence that was not always there.
Dave, there's no doubt Virginia's playing their best basketball of the year, but here comes Duke. What is it about the Blue Devils in Charlottesville? They've won the last three times. I mean, Virginia's numbers are spectacular against everybody in the league except this game, especially at home.
Well, it helps to have some lottery picks. I'll say that. It helps to have a ton of talent, which Duke has always had. And, you know, I mean, that group is just star-studded. And at some point, you know, that rises to the surface. And for Virginia against this Blue Devil team, they have not been able to keep them playing their brand of basketball the way they have with other teams. And you've seen elevated scores. And, you know, that's not to say Virginia can't win those types of games, but your odds certainly go down if you're the Cavaliers in a game where your opponent's putting up over 70 points, which Duke has been able to do on a pretty regular basis. So, you know, they got to find a way to make some buckets in this game. I mean, it seems simple, but that's what it is. I mean, here's a stat that'll blow your mind. The bar is not exactly set high for Virginia when it comes to scoring. Virginia's 16-2 this season when shooting 26% or better from three-point range. I mean, that's all it takes. If you can get some modicum of success from beyond the arc, you're pretty dangerous if you're this Cavalier team. I don't know, maybe against Duke you got to shoot 30%. I don't know, but you got to find a way to make some outside shots, and that hasn't always been the case for this team that has been offensively challenged, we'll say, at times. But, you know, that has come around. And by the way, I got to the bottom of the pronunciation business with Thomas, the artist formerly known as Thomas Wolde Tensai. He says he prefers to go by Tomas. I learned this 26 games in, had a conversation with him before the Virginia Tech game. My head exploded as a play-by-play guy, but, you know, I'm going to go with what he wants. So
yeah,
here we go.
Why not? There you go. Tomas Wolde Tensai, who can shoot, by the way. Here's the other thing, and I asked Tony Bennett about this when he joined us, 6 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago. I asked him just kind of off the cuff, hey, are you okay with Diakite out there jacking up threes? I didn't put it like that, but you know what I mean. And lo and behold, Mamadi Diakite's become a three-point threat, Dave? I mean, how much longer are we going to go with this?
He's got that ability to shoot. He does. And you know what? Even going back to his days as a freshman, I mean, this guy was able to periodically make some of those shots. And he's gotten better, obviously, the longer he's been here. But he's in his fifth year at UVA now. He's come so far. I cannot even tell you, even beyond the court, from when he first got here. I mean, this guy was a project when he got here. He always had the talent. But by the time now he's in his fifth season, he's got that ability to kind of shoot and score from a number of different levels. I think you could say at all three levels. So I don't think he's your primary three-point shooting option. But that said, he was the one who put up a three-pointer at Louisville, and when he shot it, you felt pretty good about it, even though it didn't go in, you know, to your point, so maybe not a dead-eye shooter, but I don't think he's someone you're necessarily going to shake your head and throw your hands in the air if he puts up a three-point shot, especially if he shoots it in the rhythm of the offense. Now, if he's seeking that three-pointer, that's another story, but he does have that ability, and, yeah, he can shoot it a little bit.
All right. Jordan Cornette used, and Pax talked about, the championship DNA of Virginia. How much of that do you think is real with this particular team? Do they have enough from last year that it counts? I mean, what do you think this team's going to be like the closer we get to March and the closer we get to postseason?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I think they've got it. I don't think there's any doubt in my mind that they've got it still. I mean, you've got Kihei Clark. We saw what he did at Virginia Tech. You've got Mamadi Diakite, and he was a part of the most famous play in the history of this program. But those are two guys. Braxton Key, you throw into the mix. They've been through the wars. The challenge has been some of the new guys having to live up to those expectations. And make no mistake, there was pressure for guys like Tomas Wolde-Tensai and some of these newcomers, Casey Morsell, that hadn't been in this thing. They felt the expectation of having to live up to that championship pedigree. And I think that they've come to feel a little more comfortable in doing that here, as we talked about, making big plays and big moments here. And as I said before, if you're in the NCAA tournament, I've been on the other side of this thing. When Virginia was a high seed and draws a team like Michigan State that maybe is a little underseeded that time of year, or a team that's been there, done that, it's not the team you want to be playing in the NCAA tournament when it's single elimination, because you guys have seen enough of this team, and so have your viewers and listeners out there, to know that Virginia's a tough out, especially they can beat anybody. I mean, with that defense, you can beat anybody. Now, the problem is when the offense isn't working, we've seen that they can lose to anybody too. So, but they found ways to win these close games. And, you know, I think that championship DNA, as you put it, is very much real. And I think it's one of the reasons that this team's been able to pull out some of these close games that they have. It's just a little bit of battle-tested metal that they've been able to bring to the table.
Dave, I know this is a different team than a year ago, because that's the beauty of college football, basketball, baseball, whatever the case may be. And while we sit here and talk about championship DNA, what do you think there was somewhat of a championship hangover with this team playing with a different standard? Well, hey, that's the defending champs. I mean, eventually that kind of wears away, and then you get into playing February and March basketball. But that, you think that existed in Charlottesville the first 3 months of the year?
I don't know if I would say it was a hangover so much as a reload. I mean, let's just call it what it was. You had new personnel, and the majority of the guys that got you where you went last year were no longer in that locker room. And it wasn't just their ability to make shots. I mean, it was a little bit of swagger that those guys brought in. I use that word moxie. And I don't think Virginia's ever had players that had more moxie than Ty Jerome and Kyle Guy. I think those two guys had it in spades from the minute they walked in that door. And you can't always coach that. And I'll tell you this, though, you can find that moxie. And I think that this team's been able to do that. But, it's just a different group. And obviously I didn't mention DeAndre Hunter there, but obviously what he brings to the table and what he brought to the table was something you can't replace easily either. And I don't know that you do replace that, but you find different ways. And this is a different team. I thought Tony Bennett did a masterful job of framing this thing for this team, saying, look, we're not always the most aesthetically pleasing team to see, especially this season. But it is who we are, and we can't run from who we are. This is kind of what makes us Virginia this season. And I think the more you embrace kind of who you are as a team, you get more comfortable with it, you're not trying to be someone else, it's knowing that identity that's made this team as good as it is. And that, I think, is one of the best qualities that Tony Bennett's brought to this program through the years, is an established, verifiable identity. And you better have your team buying into that identity, and I think they've done a good job of that here of late.
All right, so how do you win tomorrow night and exercise this Duke deal or whatever?
Well, first of all, you're going to have to do what you do, and that is make life very difficult.
Oh, that was very that was almost coach-like, wasn't it? You got to do what you do. That was very good. Thanks, coach.
You like that?
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, that's patented. That's a Dave Kane special now. I think I probably stole that from Tony, actually. But, no, I mean, it is. You got to play that ferocious defense. I mean, that's the name of the game, particularly when you're going against teams that may not have seen you before, as Duke has, and you've got a lot of young guys on that Duke team. I know they've got more seniority than they've had in the past, more experience than they've had in the past, and I think that'll help Duke in this matchup. But you got to bring that tenacity. That's the first piece of the puzzle. But then for Virginia, as it's been all season, you got to bang a couple shots. I mentioned that statistic, 16-2 when you shoot 26% or better. The scary part of that equation is that you've had that many games where you haven't shot 26% or better from beyond the arc. I think Virginia's going to have to stick some of those three-pointers, and Wolde Tensai is going to have a game where he brings a little bit of that. It changes everything, the spacing of the floor and the way Duke's going to have to contend with Virginia in that game. They've got to show that they're multidimensional on the other side of the floor if they want to win this game.
All right.
Appreciate the thoughts and prayers. It worked.
Hey, Pack,
you hang in there, man.
Yeah, that's exactly right. By the way, we're bringing this show to Greensboro for the tournament. Any chance that Miller will bring his magic tricks with him to the show?
Yes.
Oh, you know, I was trying. Here's the reality. Jimmy Miller, I'm gonna drop the gauntlet. They talked about him performing at halftime at JPJ.
Yeah.
It never happened this year. I don't know what happened there. We'll get to the bottom of that. But absolutely, we'll get the magic man to bring a little bit of his magic act there. So
yeah.
Yeah. It's big time.
Yeah, mornings with Packer and Durham at the Coliseum somewhere, and Jim Miller with the Magic Hour. Oh, that'd be good.
Definitely.
How cool would that be?
That'd be fun. Yeah, him and Packer, they can compare magic tricks since apparently they're both gifted in the art of illusion.
Jimmy, by the way, Jimmy loves it when I get him to agree to do things on national TV without him knowing.
Well, you know, that's a loose term, here. So,
if there was ever an incentive, even more so than Lexington Barbecue on the way to Greensboro,
now
we got magic tricks on the show.
Yeah, there we go.
We're in.
Thanks, Dave. Yeah. Way to go. We signed him up for something.
Yeah, he'll be there.
All right. Take care, my man. Good luck tomorrow night. Dave Kane, great voice of the Wahoos, joining Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
We go football news now. We haven't done any football yet. Combine's rocking and rolling. Some ACC stars front and center. And that includes one bad dude from Clemson, South Carolina.
Defensive player of the year, Isaiah Simmons, was at the microphone yesterday in Indianapolis at Lucas Oil Stadium as he gets ready for the workout later today. Interesting prospect, and we said this back during the year, because of his ability to play all over the field. And he did a great job yesterday with the media in Indy, and basically was said, if you were a defensive coordinator, how would you use you?
I would do everything I did in college, just kind of like a Swiss Army knife, move me around, because then I'm really able to show what I can really do. Because I wouldn't say I'm really tied down to one position. So Coach Venables, he really used me in a really special way that most people aren't able to be used.
Well, Coach Venables used him in a special way because this guy can make plays 50 yards downfield. He can make plays in the line of scrimmage. He could be a linebacker, a safety. This guy is a beast.
Yeah, but here's the other part of the answer we want to share with you. He also got asked yesterday about maybe what his principal use might be for an NFL team.
Yeah, I believe that people are. You know, the game is evolving, so the name of the game now is stopping tight ends. So something has to be done to stop these Travis Kelce's and George Kittle's out there.
And I know just the man in the draft.
I am the man for the job.
Yep, he can do it. There's no doubt.
Here's the other thing. Remember when we kept saying three-level player? The guy's versatility is his best quality. I mean, Pack, defensive end, weak side linebacker, box safety, corner. Now, he's not a corner every down in the NFL, but occasionally, remember how many times you see teams shift in a game and the defense has to align, and they move a linebacker down, they bring a guy, safety down to play almost like a nickel or something like that. This guy's that one person. You can put him out there in space on the wide side, and he can adjust from line to mid to deep.
You know, I think sometimes when you watch really good college players and you go, man, that guy's a great college player, it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be terrific on the next level. I mean, the game's different.
Sure.
Right? Sunday's different than Saturday.
Absolutely.
But I think Simmons is the guy that in some respects played the NFL game on Saturdays.
Mm-hmm.
It was reverse. And I think he will make a seamless transition to whatever team drafts him in the NFL draft. I think he can play literally for any team at any position on the defensive side.
I agree.
For the most part.
I agree.
And I think when folks watch all this tape, they're going to go, man, alive, that number 11, he's making plays all over the joint.
Yeah.
And he's a terrific kid on top of it.
One Clemson player making news for his comments about where a team can use him. The other one making news is making news for not participating at the combine. T. Higgins yesterday said because of short preparation time, and I've only had four, quote, I've only had 4 or 5 weeks to prepare, and I feel like that's not enough time compared to all these other guys who had 2 months. I just feel like I need to be more prepared to run the 40 and all the other drills. Look, he's not the only one not going through the drills, okay? Chase Young, who's expected to be, if not the first, the second pick of the draft, is also not going to do anything. But Higgins is the only one to cite the preparation time in this process. So,
well, I would say this. The two guys you just mentioned, Chase Young and this guy, T. Higgins,
yeah,
they have something in common. They were in the college football playoff. And, I mean, there's a lot of guys whose seasons ended. And I'm not looking for an excuse here. But mm-hmm. I get that, you know, some of these guys want, hey, this is the ultimate showcase.
Right.
And you want to have your A-game effort. And if you've been playing football in the middle of January, like the Clemson kids have, like the LSU kids have, and you think you need more time, hey, go for it, man. You got to impress now. So yeah. Have your A game. If you're not ready for Indianapolis, then get ready.
By the way, Chase Goodbread of NFL.com is the one who wrote this story saying that Chase Goodbread?
Chase Goodbread.
Well, there you have it. Isaiah Simmons and Tremaine Ankrum right now are scheduled to work out. Whether Tanner Muse, John Simpson, A.J. Terrell, and Kayvon Wallace join Higgins, we'll see.
You know, I don't worry about stuff like this because T. Higgins is going to get drafted, and he's going to have a chance to showcase his skills mm-hmm. eyeball to eyeball to every GM up close and personal. And you know what? If you're not ready to do it late February, right. There will be a time in March and April that you're going to do it.
So yeah. It's called a pro day on your campus.
Right. I just don't think it's that big a deal.
And then you have private workouts for the teams. And then you get drafted.
And then you're going to make a ton of money catching footballs, hopefully for a long, long time.
Right.
And good for him.
We've told you about a busy Saturday in the ACC. Don't forget that Sunday night, right here on ACC Network, we've got also a great game for you. Louisville back at home at the KFC Yum Center. 6 days after the loss at Florida State welcomes Virginia Tech. Hokies finished with Louisville, Clemson, and Notre Dame. The road does not get any easier for Mike Young's team. Meanwhile, the Ville has Virginia Tech and then does not play again until the regular season finale day on the calendar, which is next Saturday, a week from tomorrow, when they travel to Virginia. All that coming up this weekend. Sunday night, 6 o'clock, nothing but net, and all their things follow. On ACC Network, Sunday night at 6.
Hokies have lost 8 of 9, West Durham. Mm. And you rolled into Louisville where they're 16-1 at home. Senior night, all that great stuff. Play hard.
Yep.
I hope the popcorn's good for Coach Young early. Because Louisville, after what they just went through in the second half against Florida State,
yep,
I think they'll be ready to go.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.